Now, construction's like different then, and in the hospital are perfectly acceptable, at least to my ears. But other American grammatical structures are still frowned upon. The use of hopefully as a sentence adjective is an Americanism. Now, hopefully, that doesn't make you cringe. So is the relatively heavy use of adverbs without their proper ly endings, as in real fast or drive safe. And there's nothing we can do with plural you without getting in trouble. So Southerners say y'all, Pittsburghers say yins. In Philadelphia, it's yous, and in New York City, the much stereotype yous guys. Yins just can't win, can yous? Anyway, these grammatical structures are frowned on today, and there were some surprisingly picky complaints back in the day. John Witherspoon, our expert on Americanisms, hated I've been to Philadelphia, saying that it should be at or in, not to, I have been at Philadelphia. He also condemned how Americans were using the verb notify in sentences like, I notified him of the new word. He wrote, in English, we do not notify the person of the thing, but notify the thing to the person. So I guess it's supposed to be, I notified the new word to him. Anyway, that's probably enough about grammatical structures that arose in America. Linguist Edgar Schneider claims that there are really only a few important and systematic grammatical differences between American and British English. But the list of fussy little differences does add up. But what about pronunciations? As we think about this, we have to consider something we haven't really talked about yet. What was happening on the other side of the Atlantic in English English? It's no surprise that American English was innovative. That's a natural result when a language travels from one country to an entirely different land. But whether or not they're transported to new situations, all languages and all dialects change over time. That's a fact about language, whether language purists like it or not. So American English was changing in many ways away from British English, but English English was changing too, away from American English. One very important linguistic development that took place in England over the course of the 1700s was the development and promotion of a standard for English pronunciation, so-called received pronunciation. Before this time, yes, there were dialects that were considered better and worse than others, but there wasn't a single uniform codified standard set down in rule books and actively promoted as proper English usage. Language authorities, often self-proclaimed, set down standards in the 1700s that would endure for generations and to an extent to this day. Samuel Johnson published his well-known General Dictionary of the English Language in 1755, and it was prescriptive, not simply descriptive. In this book, Johnson set forth how English ought to be used. Another influential work outlining the new English standard was John Walker's Critical Pronouncing Dictionary and Expositor of the English Language, first published in 1791. One of the main features of received pronunciation, or RP as it's often called, is R-lessness, or non-roticity, in words like mother and father, ka and yod. We tend to think of R-lessness as a classic quintessential feature of pure British English, the enunciation of kings and queens, of William Shakespeare, Ben Jonson, and Christopher Marlowe. But you'll recall that Shakespeare and his contemporaries didn't actually talk that way. They pronounced their R's, more like today's Americans in everyday life than British Shakespearean actors on the stage and screen. When R dropping came into fashion in England in the later half of the 1700s, much of America, quite frankly, was left behind. Only posh Bostonians and southern landowners could keep pace. So general American English is R pronouncing. But traditionally, Boston and the Tidewater South were not. Nowadays, R-lessness has receded sharply in the South. You still hear it a lot in stereotypes of Southern speech and in actors' portrayals, but it's not really an accurate depiction anymore. New York City was also a long-standing R-less area. Was. Boston is really the last holdout of R-lessness in the U.S., and there are indications that it's now fading even from there. And this is in sharp contrast to British English, where R-dropping is still going strong. In fact, it's still spreading from its original center in the London area, outward to the increasingly peripheral areas of the British Isles.